It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Mayor of this filthy city, this rubbish-filled city, this dump of a town. Phil, good morning.
You must be talking to somebody else.
No, I'm talking to you. You're the one. He said, what's the one? Let me just get the quote. They are too bloody lazy or too bloody tight to pay disposal fees for rubbish. We're talking illegal dumping, Phil,
and I absolutely stand by those comments. Look, people come up with all sorts of excuses, but I watch people at a whole lot of different levels. People are just chuck their cigarette butts into the drains, knowing that that'll end up in the harbour. People who throw their rubbish towards a rubbish bin but don't bother putting it in it. People who dump their scraps and their old furniture on the side of the road. Why do they think that they've got a right to damage and our environment and put the cost of cleaning up their rubbish on somebody else? I don't accept any excuse for those people doing that. They are too bloody lazy, or they're too tight to pay to dispose of their rubbish in the same way that every one of the rest of us do. So, hey, no excuses for those people. They should look after the environment and their community, just like every other decent person does in the community.
Say I've got an old helicopter that doesn't work, and is it cool to leave it just out on the front lawn there, and for people that cruise by looking for stuff like that?
I think you'd probably get a price.
Helicopter's probably not a good example.
Yeah. Even an old car. If you've got an old car that you want to dump, don't put it on the
don't
side of the road and set fire to it. Somebody will give you $200 for that, for scrap metal. So look, the things that we can do better as well, and I'm meeting with Eugenie Sage, the Minister of Conservation, this Friday. We're opening a new facility to get rid of tyres. But I'm going to have a wider discussion with her about how we can do better on recycling. You know, with tyres, we went out to, there's a road out, Twilight Road out Clevedon Way, and we pulled 1,250 tyres out of the native bush on the side of the road.
Seriously? Wow.
1,250. People say, oh, we can't get rid of the tyres. But what we should do, and the proposal I'm going to put to Eugenie Sage is, look, if it costs $10 to dispose of a tyre, put it on the price of the tyre when you buy it, and then allow people to dispose of them free in places where they can just drop the tyres off.
You used to have on glass bottles?
Same thing. A container deposit scheme is exactly the same principle. Where they run a container deposit scheme, they get about a 20, 30, 40% higher recycling rate of those bottles than in jurisdictions that don't run that regime. So, you know, there are sensible things that we can do that give people a financial incentive to recycle as well, and we should do those things. But I'm still not accepting any excuses from the people that trash our environment. Why should I?
Yeah, and it's 4 months ago you declared war on people who dump rubbish illegally, and there's only been 21 infringement notices issued by the council since then.
Yeah, and the real challenge on that, Mikey, is getting the evidence. There are a couple of cases that we're looking for prosecution on at the moment. We want to get it watertight, because when we take it to court, we want to know that we'll succeed when we get there. The infringement fines, they're easier to impose. And, you know, I've sent the message out to the council officers. I expect them to do everything they can to get prosecutions where they've got the evidence. But the challenge is that evidence. And why have we gone out with the hotline on dumping?
That hotline number again, 0800-NO-DUMP.
Yeah, that's the one. Well done. Thank you. If people have got, even if they've got a cell phone photo of somebody dumping rubbish on the side of the road and we've got a rego plate, we can try and do something with that. But the difficulty is, you know, people, where do they dump their rubbish? They dump them in dark corners in the middle of the night where nobody can see them, and the challenge is getting those prosecutions.
What about in the CBD? More and more Aucklanders live in the CBD, in the central city. Where's the rubbish disposal area there?
The inorganic rubbish collection is right across the city. What they do in the central city apartments, you've got me on. I'm not sure what arrangement they make for that.
Put that down on your jotter.
There will be arrangements. Everyone around the city has a certain time where they book in a place, and they'd probably be leaving it in their basement or whatever. But the the details of that you can get from council. The contact numbers are available there. And what we're trying to do, I'm also trying to get council to be a bit more flexible about the amount of rubbish you can put out for inorganic. You know, they were saying, look, it should fit in, you know, the size of a trailer, or, you know, a square metre or whatever. And I'm saying, hey, don't be that constrictive. If people have got a, you know, double bed they want to put out, you know, they've got to get rid of that somehow. Why not pick that up as part of the inorganic collection? So I'm trying to get a bit of flexibility out of council.
The reason I ask that is because someone's texted in and asked about a drop-off for hazardous waste in the CBD.
Oh, yeah.
Like batteries and all that sort of stuff. He's saying he had to go to Avondale to get rid of some batteries, which seems like something that most people wouldn't bother doing, you know?
Well, we might need to look at that in terms of paints and batteries and things. You know, we don't want to make it really difficult for people, but also, you know, the more places that we make available, the greater the cost that we need to, the investment we need to make in it, and the greater the cost.
True. But I mean, but especially in the central city, our central city is based around a harbour and the Domain, you know, and stuff like we're sort of all these little pockets of beauty that could easily be a
Here's an idea for you. We might get our waste management people. If you find a slot on your program, I'll get the people that actually do the work on the ground to come onto your program and talk to people and answer questions.
Are you listening to that, Joe Guy?
Yep.
Joe, just got my producer Joe Guy on the case there. I'll get it to review that idea, Phil, and see if we can slot something in. We'll work with your office on that, Phil.
Yep. No, that'd be really good, mate. And the other good thing is that we made a decision in council yesterday. We've got 45% more corporate property than what we need, 45% more floor space, and that had a massive maintenance.
So if there's any bands out there looking for band practicing space.
Yeah. But we've got to maintain that. It was going to cost over $200 million to do that, of which we'd only put aside about $93. We're going to downsize. We're going to relocate to places more accessible to people. We're going to create modern workspaces that may be smaller, but they're better to work in than some of our ancient buildings. And we're going to save the Auckland residents and ratepayers around about $117 million by doing that. And strangely enough, some councillors voted against that. I can't understand it, but that's their right, I guess. They can make up their own mind. But we are focused on, you know, we amalgamated into this new city. We ended up with more space than we needed. Why would you keep space and leave it empty and then have to maintain it when you can get rid of it? So good decision by council yesterday, by council majority, and that's a big saving to the city.
Yeah, good job. What about the comments a couple of days ago after the Stuff and News Hub investigation? That has shone. It's basically shone the spotlight on something that we already all knew, didn't we? That the disparity between the rich and the poor and this beautiful city of ours, this beautiful Tamaki Makaurau, Auckland City, is just bigger than it's ever been in decades. And that's we know how bad that is. Anyone who's bothered to even look into it once in their lives knows that there isn't one single example of that being good for anywhere.
It's not good. If you've got to have an inclusive city, look, for me, you know, fundamental to my philosophy is every kid that's born into our community deserves an equal chance to make the most of his or her life. And if we don't give them the chance to make the most of their life, that's a cost to them individually, but it's also a cost to all of us because kids aren't contributing. So what we're focusing on, we've got 27,000 15 to 24-year-olds in Auckland that are not in employment, education or training. And what we're trying to do, and we're focusing on the southern suburbs because those were the five suburbs, the five local board areas that are the most disadvantaged. How do we get those kids into better education and training, and how do we get them into jobs? And we've made some really good progress. For example, when we were building the Manukau bus station out there, major construction project in South Auckland, we put a social procurement element into our tendering process and said, we will we will consider among the tenders those of you who make a commitment to take on local unemployed people and to trade them, to train them in trade and construction skills.
How'd that
and
go?
It went really bloody well. And Strong Construction, for example, took on 13 kids that were out of work.
Wow, that's great.
And I tell you what, when we opened that bus station, it's a magnificent bus station.
Something for them to be proud of as they take the bus to their next job.
They are so proud of the skills that they've learned, but also of what they've created in their own community. And look, you know, with this...
Well, do you think... Let me ask you this, Phil. Do you think that there's... I'm not sure exactly where I'm going with this, but do you think there's a responsibility for the haves... For those people that are on that side of the disparity, to do their part as well, and to try and lessen the gap between rich and poor in Auckland.
Yeah,
I don't know what you're doing. I'm just wondering whether that's something that.
Yeah, it's all about helping.
It's all about helping the poor, or helping the disadvantaged, or helping those that don't have as much. But you just don't. You don't sort of. No one turns around and says, "What about you guys with all your money?"
Yeah. No.
What about you guys with that boat that's been sitting down the marina there for 5 years?
No, I think, once,
apart from that time when you're drunk and you crash it anyway.
Yeah, I think those of us that are on better incomes, and I'm one of those people, I've never grizzled once about the level of taxation I pay. I'm bloody proud to pay the taxation and know that if that gives people a better chance in life, it gives them, you know, access to free hospital treatment when they're ill, it gives them access to a free education that they can make the most of their talents through. That's part of my obligation as a citizen in any society. And if you create a society where the gaps between rich and poor keep getting bigger, that's when you get one part of your society turning against the other part of your society.
Nobody wants to say uprising.
No one wants to
use the word revolution.
There's no guillotine
being talked about at this stage.
I remember going to Manila, you know, and seeing the gated communities where people were fabulously wealthy, and the slums where people were living. There's a place called Smoky Mountain where they were literally living on the rubbish tip. It was called Smoky because they set fire to the rubbish.
Seen that, yeah.
And I thought, gee, is that the sort of community you want to see develop in New Zealand? Of course we don't.
I'm glad you thought that.
No, we're not doing enough. That's why, you know, good system of income tax, making sure that people have access to basic things like housing, health, education, all of that's fundamental to creating a decent society and one where everybody can be part of that society and contribute to it and not be a cost to it.
Good on you, Phil. Very, very, very quickly, St. James, what's going on?
I keep an eye on it from the outside. They've continued with the revamp of it, but they're waiting, I think, around the property development that was going to fund a lot of the rejuvenation work, and there's a stalling on that side of it. I haven't had an update though for the last couple of months.
Let's talk that next week.
Yeah. Okay. Good as gold, mate.
Mayor of Auckland, Phil Goff. Thank you very much.
Okay. Take care. See you later.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.